That's what they're working.
It's showing the sun maybe.
Okay.
It's showing another one. They got them all.
And our cameras look beautiful. I think we're all set.
Now it has the media account, which is from the Xiaomi. So you go on that, and it's got all of
I guess I'll just have to start bringing more cameras. There's just too many of you people. I should get a little robot that just goes around, a little drone that flies around taking pictures.
Just the fans. Oh, yeah. Do you have good occupancy this summer in Alaska?
Yeah, we were really happy with it. It turned out to be much better season before. We were kind of recovering from the season before was one of our lower seasons ever. We kind of feel like it had to do with Airbnb and the economy there in Alaska at the time, but we just repositioned ourselves on Airbnb. We had a much better season this last year. Anchorage, downtown Anchorage. It's where I grew up. It's actually the house that I grew up in. How are we doing? How many people do we have? A bunch, yeah. 22.
Almost a record. 22.
Not counting you. Well, I don't count. I don't count.
Well, you had a week off. You got a lot of good stuff
today. Well, there's some stuff. There's some good stuff. There's some stuff that's already fallen out of date.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
A couple of weeks ago, somebody was talking about a problem they had with their modem. Telmex came over and unplugged something from the splitter and plugged it into the modem, and everything was fine.
Okay.
What was it?
That was a bad splitter. That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like the filter had gone bad, which can happen with like a lightning strike or a power surge through the phone line can blow out a filter. And I think the most significant point there was that with the Telmex modem, it doesn't need that filter. The only thing that needs the filter are the phones. It's only right there next to the modem if you want a phone next to the modem. If you don't need a phone there, you can just take out the filter and stick the modem right into the wall. Yeah. And on that note, if you've got a house that has a phone network, so there's like different outlets all over the house, you can pick up your modem and move it to any of those outlets looking for better wireless coverage. Put it more.
Are you saying
I hope you weren't driving?
No, I mean actually that's a good point as well, because you can have a phone that would interfere with the modem. Yeah, if you were having Wi-Fi interference, then one of the first things we'd do is move the phones away from that area, because they can be interrupting each other. Sometimes just a couple of feet makes a difference, but there are other times when I've just pulled them right out of the area, stuck them somewhere else. But Chester, what I was just saying, would keep in mind, you've got some no, you're in Jan's house now, aren't you? Okay, so that modem can be connected to any phone outlet. So if you find a phone outlet that's more central to you or closer to where you want to do work, then move the modem to that area. Yeah. That might eliminate your interference as well.
The problem is, 2 weeks ago I was with 11.
Yeah, megabytes a second or megabits a second.
Now I'm getting 4.
Well, 20 should be available from the phone company through a fiber optic connection. Not on that road? No? What about Mega Cable? Are they available?
Actually, I lost it.
That's what the diagram is. Plug into a wall.
We were just talking about that.
I'm going to hit the streaming button here to make sure this thing's going to be working.
Well, it was over 3 hours for me last night. 3 hours? Yeah. 3 hours?
Yeah. The border?
Yeah.
Why?
They had a truck blockaded by the border. So I had to illegally turn around and, you know, go back into town. The line was horrendous. And these four National Guardsmen were standing around scratching themselves.
First of nothing, double check.
Yeah.
Nothing.
They're busy now.
And people in Tijuana. So, you know.
Somebody said they waited a long time the other day. Then they put orders up and then they didn't let them in.
Yeah, Chandler was talking about it. There's the
Yeah. She's back and forth.
Don't
the
bomb.
She said they actually made better.
So sure.
Also, because they're taking three cars one time and putting them in a certain
way. What's the difference between a
motor and a
goes into the
It's, become very vague because so many of these devices are all in one device. The modem is literally the device that turns internet into a language that can be spoke across the phone line. Whether it's copper or it's fiber optic, but that's essentially that's what the modem is doing. Is it's taking, it's changing it from your local area network technology to a wide area network technology. But then that's incorporated in a router with a switch with a Wi-Fi and given to you by your internet provider. So many times when people say modem or router, they're referring to the same piece of equipment. But technically, they're not. Technically, those are four different jobs being done by the same piece of equipment.
What are you getting in a router?
You're probably getting a better. You're probably getting a better quality router with better features. Well, it's possible because there could be, it could have a better CPU, so it'd be able to handle data faster. It'd have more radios in it, so it could handle interference better, and things of that nature.
So what's a good price to pay for a router?
Well, a good router could run you over $150. I think a good price to pay would be somewhere between $80 and $140. I think that's a reasonable amount. What is going on? This is supposed to be streaming right now, and it's not. Why aren't you worried? You say you're streaming. It says I'm live, but I'm not live.
You look live to me.
It's supposed to be working right now. We're supposed to be starting right this moment. I think we will. Even though it seems very strange that this isn't working here.
Did somebody leave us some money?
You zip through everything. Uh-huh. But this year, I'm thinking, I don't
know. Yeah, it says they're waiting for us. Yeah. Why does it say you're waiting for us?
That's why I say I don't know why they don't have a separate gate.
Right, you must
I wonder if I turn it off.
It makes sense. Which is why they don't do it.
Turn it on again.
Yeah.
They're more interested in catching somebody bringing a piece of
corn
to
them. Dog ears
are
on again. Five for the
fifth. Or the bag of
Hello?
Or the time?
You don't waste any time. Better call her, she's going for you.
You had a banana. Oh my God.
What is going on? I'm Scott. Hi.
So Leslie undoes it, shoves it in her mouth.
Why not? I think you're lying to me.
So I grab my thing and I put it in the car and everything.
Okay. Says we're good. And this says it's still waiting. I don't know what's going on. But we're just going to start because it should not matter.
Just be careful with my keys. That's all I ask.
Yep. There we go. Make sure. Hey, all right, we are working. Cool.
Your fingers are too big.
And the cameras are working. And the tweet's going out. Come on. Sending your tweet. Your tweet has been sent. I hope you knew you were going to be recording the video game.
I'm supposed to be in hiding in a foreign country. Well, I guess I am. I'm in the witness protection program.
I'm Scott.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Laidlaw. We spoke last week, and I fixed my phone up.
Excellent, Jeannie.
I just went to Oxford, Boxcar, yesterday. Perfect.
Great to hear. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
That sure makes it a whole lot easier than having to drive into Winans and deal with that. Oh, and that office is crazy.
And they tell you a different thing every year.
Change is inevitable.
But not always. But yes, they do
know by the
time you're 8 or 10. Am I really going to be full face?
No, not at all. But the back of your head. Because I've got a camera that's going this way and a camera that's going this way, and I've got my camera, but it only sees me. Should we come to some semblance of order and pretend like we're somewhat organized? It is 9:15. It is Tuesday. I'm Scott Stimson, and you are the San Carlos Computer Club. It's good to see you all. We've got a large group here.
24
in total.
I think it's a record.
You think it's a record? I think it's one of the biggest groups I've seen since we used to meet in the Yacht Club. A long time ago, we used to meet in the Yacht Club.
How many years have you been doing this?
Since before high-speed internet.
Yeah, last week.
Oh, you must live in the ranchitos. Well, welcome and thank you for coming. My father's here, just arriving. Hey, Pop.
25.
That makes 25. This is a big group. Well, as always, I've brought some of my own tech topics, but I'm interested in what you guys have brought. Does anybody have any news or questions? Or okay, I'll start with Linda. Linda, thank you for running the group last week. I heard you did an awesome job. I was deadly sick. I could not go anywhere. Yeah, you didn't have to tolerate me.
Well, we discussed VPNs. What else? We discussed
one of our favorite topics, VPNs. VPNs,
well,
smart DNSs.
Here. Naomi was here, Bagel Naomi. So she was asking about VPNs, and she was asking about something else, so we straightened that out for her. And we had a good group.
So we talked about TV, of course.
Yeah, we talked about TV, of course.
All right.
And anyway, I brought this.
Oh, can I just add one thing? If that happens again, if somebody didn't mind, just turning their phone recorder on, I could probably use that audio.
Oh.
Okay. Just because, you know, nobody knew what was going on out in the real world. It was here.
Okay.
Go ahead, Linda. I'm sorry.
Yesterday, I don't know if all of you ever look at Cord Cutters News.
Cord Cutters News?
Cord Cutters News. They give you all the information about being a cord cutter and getting rid of it.
Everybody's familiar with the term cord cutter?
No.
Oh. Cord cutter, Linda's talking about cord cutter news. If you're not familiar with the term, it's basically what most of us are, people that have given up on satellite and cable TV and are looking for TV through other means, like these Android TVs or the IPTV boxes.
Is Chromecast one of those?
Well, it allows you to take advantage of that kind of stuff, yeah. Yeah.
It's a very worthwhile website to go to because they give you all the latest information. And yesterday, they ran an article about DirecTV Now's Android TV box that they're coming out with. And
DirecTV's Android TV box?
Correct.
So this is the box that DirecTV is going to encourage you to start using instead of satellites. They're going to provide you a TV service as a streaming service.
Correct, but I think you won't be able to use it down here because since all the Android boxes pick up an IP address, you probably won't be able to use their box because it'll pick up the Mexican IP address.
Well,
I'm getting from this.
It'll be interesting to see. Is that a commentary on that? Did they mention something like that?
This is what they're doing. It says the new device is likely to be used for both DirecTV Now and a new DirecTV streaming version AT&T announced last year. The device is an Android TV-powered streaming player called Osprey. AT&T wants to offer a streaming version of DirecTV that will provide the same contracts and channels, but without the dish on your house.
So basically, the onus is on you to bring the bandwidth. You have to bring the internet to power your TV service. And so one of the ways to think about this is kind of like live streaming Netflix. You're essentially buying a service from this point on.
Right. So it says, in the email sent to subscribers, AT&T says, quote, we built a streaming device to give you an even better experience, and we'd like you to be a beta tester so you can help us make sure that we do just that. And
does it record?
They showed an interface, and they've got the YouTube and all this, just like everything else.
So it sounds like they're going to have a box that they've anointed as a DirecTV box. But it also sounds like they're going to continue to offer an app that you can do the same thing with. So any Android platform you could probably run DirecTV Now on.
Roku.
Oh, and Roku has it too?
I've used it down here too.
Yeah, and you've been happy with it?
I haven't used it for a while. My son moved out of Texas.
Well,
cover the mic, would you?
Linda, you said you're concerned that it might not work down here, but actually, from the stories I've heard from people doing the DirecTV streaming, they've been able to do it down here.
Can you record VPN or something?
That's the question. Can you record?
Can you record?
It's not saying anything yet. This was just given a news that they were starting to do it, and it just says, from the looks of it, DirecTV Now is taking a very similar approach to Android TV that Sling TV did. They're primarily building their streaming player to launch into the DirecTV Now app. Then you'll be able to access other apps through the Google Play Store, just like everybody else's.
Probably be the next generation. What do you want to bet they'll combine with TiVo and put out an Android box with additional storage so that you can do DVR off of their streaming?
How does it receive a signal?
Internet.
Okay, so you still have to have a cable for the internet.
Yes. Yeah. You
they're
have.
They're talking about cutting cables.
Oh. Well.
Good point.
Good, very good point, Paul. There's still cables involved.
I guess you can get satellite internet.
That's right. You can hook it up to the bar's Wi-Fi if you within a reasonable distance.
So this is a pretty good, worthwhile website, cord cutters. Another one is Gizmodo. They are a really good for cord cutters too. I have them here. So inclined to be looking at that stuff.
Wait, and the term cord cutters is good to know because whenever you're seeing that used, you're talking about alternative TV services.
Yes.
They
have a lot on their website.
I saw something the other day that said in the last quarter, at least 1 billion people cut the cord.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, dramatic number of people dropped cable last year
and
in satellite.
475,000 are DirecTV net loss.
Yeah.
Well,
wow.
So expensive.
Hey, another good site, I think either Ed or Jim recommended it a couple of weeks ago, was wirelesshack.org. It's got a lot of good cord cord cutter information. And you guys were joking with me about calling it Shaq, but they play that on the website. They put a capital S at the it's wireless, and then the second S is capitalized like wireless Shaq, but there's only two S's.
Oh, okay.
Another one is Troy Point.
I didn't get a chance to check that one.
T-R-O-Y?
Yeah, T-R-O-Y Point. He has a lot of Cody and Firestick.
What's the ending on it?
So I bring it up because it's another good place for cord cutter news. So you were talking about cordcutternews.com, is that right?
Cordcutters.com.
Cordcutters.com. And that wireless hack, which is the best way to think about it if you're going to spell it correctly. Wirelesshack.org. Yeah, Mike.
I've been spending a lot of time on my couch this last couple of weeks. But I found that the...
You poor guy. I hope you can recover.
You know, the Radio City thing that's connected to the other service we have here in town?
Oh, yeah, Radiosity.
All kinds of stuff from Amazon. You just click down to where the Amazon stuff starts.
Oh, you mean the content.
All kinds of stuff. And then there's another movie channel in there called Cinema or something like that. That has, you know, mostly it's the same old stuff, but I did find three or four other films that I couldn't find elsewhere. So if you play around with that window there, you might be able to find more stuff than you think you're going to be getting.
It is cordcutternews.com.
Cordcutternews.com. Wirelesshack.org. Yeah, Pop.
Mike, you're talking about Radiosity.
Yeah.
You gotta be really careful. I ended up being charged.
Linda? Linda?
Yeah?
Was that cutters with an S or cutter with...
Cutters with an S.
It's cordcutters with an S. News.com.
Thank you.
Cordcuttersnews.com.
And what's the hack one again?
Wirelesshack.org.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you going to ask me something else?
Well, I was going to ask you about your mesh network. But
my mesh network?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get Linda's update on Linda's mesh network. Go ahead, Linda.
Well, it's working fine, except for I never realized how many times a day and stuff that the internet goes down here. The internet used to go down, and I had a Buffalo router, and then I had an extension in the living room. Well, the extension in the living room was going down, but I never realized how many times a day the Buffalo router never went down. It would pick it up as soon as it came back on. The problem is the mesh network goes down and doesn't come back on. So you wake up and you've got a hot pink ring at the top all the time, and you have to reboot the Telmex router. Now, I've been on trying to do...
Well, actually, that's the Telmex modem router switch that's not coming back on. It's not a... I mean, you're having
to reboot the box.
The Telmex.
Yes.
Yes.
And
that's absolutely right.
I went into the help section, and that's what they're telling you. So, two or three times a day, which I never noticed before because the Buffalo router would just come back on. And I never, in all the years I've had that Buffalo router, never had to reboot it. So that is the only thing. Sometimes you wake up almost every morning and it's been off.
And you're saying that you didn't have to reboot the Telmex router before?
Never.
Well, that's
never.
Sure still sounding like it's the mesh network.
The only thing I ever had to reboot was the extender in the living room. It would lose contact sometimes.
Yeah.
And that was the reason I decided to go with the mesh network, was to try and eliminate that. But now...
Linda, the...
There's got
to
be
When you go to restart the Telmex router,
yeah,
is it because you're seeing there's no internet light?
No.
I know the Orbi,
yeah,
but when you look at the Telmex box,
it looks like it's on.
It looks like it's on.
Right.
I think it's the Orbi still.
I do too.
Yeah.
But I saw some numbers in the Orbi, and I don't know if you're supposed to go into the Telmex box and make some adjustments. But I printed this sheet that said that it's, you're going to have to reboot your box. So if the Telmex goes down 2 or 3 times a day, you're rebooting that box.
Yeah, because the Orbi is not...
You don't have to touch the Orbi. You just right. have to reboot the Telmex box.
But when we were together the other day, when I left there, I was convinced it was the Telmex box that wasn't coming back.
That's right, it is.
But if the Telmex box is not coming back, then I would expect there to be no light on the internet and no light on the DSL or a flashing light on the DSL. Is that what you're seeing when you?
I'm seeing the lights.
It just looks like a working.
Right, but the Orbi comes up with the magenta light.
Sure, sure.
And that tells you that you have to reboot. And as soon as I reboot the Telmex box, it's good.
It's a strange pattern of behavior. You might just uninstall it, loan it to me, let me hook it up in my environment, and just see if it has the same kind of behavior. Because that seems like very odd behavior. Can you plug something into the Telmex router to verify that it doesn't have internet before you reboot it?
I have a bunch of stuff plugged in.
Like, oh yeah, you have
a Vonage. I got my TV in the bedroom. I have my Magic Jack.
The Magic Jack.
And it doesn't work. I did try the Magic Jack.
So this Telmex router is displaying all the lights like it's working, but it's definitely not working.
Correct.
But is it working? Is
it working with
anything? Question on Telmex router.
Really? Yeah.
I tried the Magic Jack.
I was getting a solid 11.
You don't
now
unplug
I'm
the
3
button.
And 4 and it's interrupting. But
all
the little green light on the internet
Telmex, the light goes out.
Is that
mesh
good or
and
bad?
Back on.
Well, it should blink to indicate that it's being used.
I never had that.
That's
before.
Just data traffic that's going but out the internet.
Nobody's using it. And they're sitting there blinking.
Yeah, I did.
Well, it's probably something's probably using it. It's probably a pulse out on the internet from one of your devices or a cell phone or a tablet. Anything that can connect wirelessly that doesn't get shut off. Would still be maintaining this. Any of the, especially Internet of Things devices, they like to phone home. They like to ping the internet, make sure it's still out there. So it's not uncommon to have blinking. Extensive, like fast, like obviously a lot of traffic type of blinking. That I would go around my house and start shutting things off and making sure everything I thought was online was turned off and see if that would go away, because it shouldn't be more than a pulse or two every once in a while.
It's like a machine gun.
Yeah, that sounds like something's getting updates or it's being used for streaming. It shows that kind of traffic. So if somebody's in the house watching YouTube, you'd see that kind of behavior. If your laptop was downloading a Windows update, you'd see that kind of behavior. Your cell phone, if you're surfing Facebook and pulling up videos and stuff, you'd see that kind of behavior.
So we switched to
yes, Irving.
Last week I had a problem which we discussed, and I subsequently spoke to technical support in Epson. My problem was that when I use Windows Fax and Scan, normally when I send documents, I'll scan it and then email it. But the email was shaded out. You couldn't use it.
But you couldn't use the email, the scan to email function.
With Epson.
Yeah.
And I just switched to Epson printers. So here's why and the problem, and it poses another question. First of all, they don't support anything but Outlook.
But
so
Outlook, okay.
All my email accounts are not unsupported, and that's why I couldn't get it. Now the question comes up, I tried to download Outlook. Do you have to have Microsoft Word to have Outlook, or can you have it without it?
You have to have 365, and you have to pay for the subscription.
Yeah, so I mean, the Epson basically has missed the mark there. But Linda showed me how to bypass it by putting it on my desktop and emailing it. So
yeah.
It's just another step I have to do, which is not efficient. It's backward.
Yeah, well, and so often those automatic systems that come with the printers, they are very limited in the scope of their features, what you can do with them. forever, even the Microsoft stuff, you'd have to set a client, an email client for Windows, if you're planning on sending it through email using Windows.
But I have three or four clients.
Mm-hmm.
And
Epson's not supporting any of them.
Supports a one that you have to pay a tremendous amount of money to get. I pay for all my email clients, and I would pay for Outlook if I could get it separately.
Get Outlook separately.
Seems,
I have it.
It seems like you can get it separately. I don't know if you
but
can.
Keeps on asking me for my Microsoft.
But if you have a Microsoft, you probably have a Microsoft account.
No.
Yes, we all get it.
That's what's kind of odd is I'm surprised that the Microsoft Mail client wouldn't count.
Yeah, I use the Microsoft Mail, but then you got to use the Mail in Microsoft.
I wonder if the Epson would support it.
Because I have Outlook. You can have Outlook, Hotmail. What was the other?
Well,
most people use
only,
Outlook
they
or
they
Hotmail.
They only support Outlook, according to Epson. That's it.
Well,
the only email client they'll support. So you could use, go directly from.
It doesn't surprise me, yeah. But you probably would have to buy specific Outlook or be part of the 360 subscription.
Well, when I looked it up, it says it's obsolete. They no longer have it.
Well, they have Outlook, but it's part of 360.
Could
he have the same problem?
Can
I guess.
Scan from it. Use it.
No.
Trying to use 07.
No, he's just trying to come up with a copy of Outlook to use. And I think I don't even think Irving, I don't even think you're concerned about using Outlook. You're just pointing out how ineffective Epson is.
No,
by
I would like to be able to go from Windows back to scan and just email.
He was using
instead
Windows
of taking
back
an extra
scan.
Step now.
And they're not using one, which is basically the same as thinks it's not.
Well, if I have to put it on my desktop and then
what's the difference
well,
putting it on your desktop?
It's an extra step.
No, it isn't. Or going to Windows Fax and Scan, that's an extra step too.
No, because I use Windows Fax and Scan to do the scanning. It's the one thing.
Well, it may. Maybe one of those things we look deeper into is because it seems odd that you would have to have Microsoft Outlook installed for it to work. But if that is the case, it's also, I mean, things like that do happen. Now, Windows 10 comes with the Windows Mail, the Microsoft Mail program. I would expect it to be able to work with that. And there's also a scanner program that you can get from the Windows Store. And you might find a combination of those two would alleviate the need for using Epson software. You could just stay strictly Microsoft software.
That's an idea.
Well, I was just saying on the Epson scan, I have it scanned to my desktop. Then I just go to my email and attach it.
Right, right.
That's it.
But Irving's right. It's an extra step. When you got a button that's scanned to email and you press that and it's supposed to go to email, it's an extra step to have it show up on your desktop and attach it to your email. I see a hand down there since the beginning of our meeting.
Okay. So when you were talking about VPNs, so I looked that up to find out what it meant.
VPNs, yeah.
It's a novice. And it looked like it was a smart idea because we do online banking and things from here. So I'm not as interested in whether I can get Netflix because I don't even have Netflix. But I wanted to know, it sounds to me like it's a valuable thing to install in order to have some extra security.
That's why they sell them.
Yeah, that's the intention behind them. But most of our use cases, I mean, the extra security, absolutely, that's a great reason. But many times nowadays, you can't get to what it is you're trying to use without behaving as though you're in the United States, and that's what the VPN allows you to do.
That would be handy, too, because I can't get ESPN.
I'm sorry, say again?
I said that would be handy as well because I can't get ESPN on my tablet, which I could, in the States, so they obviously know where I am.
We've had some recent experience with, I think it was Judy, you were trying to pay your utilities?
Yes.
In Colorado?
Mm-hmm.
and it's completely blocked from outside the United States.
Okay.
And you were able to resolve that issue with what was the name of that browser?
Epic
Browser has its own built-in VPN.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that worked perfectly for solving her issue. I imagine you cannot use it for Netflix, but I wouldn't be surprised if you could use it for purchasing stuff or trying to go to a bank. At least see if it works. It's free. It's based on Chromium. Yeah.
If the sign at the top says HTTPS, then, and it takes a while for that website to answer, then am I secure down here doing things like that?
That is quite a question.
Could you repeat it? We can't hear.
Okay, well, the question is, the HTTPS, is that secure? I mean, in a nutshell, that's the question. Because so much of the Internet, for so long, you would address it as HTTP. What those two abbreviations really, the difference between those two abbreviations is whether the information on the Internet is flowing through the cable or through the airwaves in an unencrypted or encrypted fashion. And when it's encrypted, what you've done is you've agreed that where you are and where you're going are going to speak in the same scheme, and no one else will have that scheme. So anyone that's eavesdropping can't understand what's being passed between. I mean, literally like the little orphan Annie decoder rings. You'd have one, the other side would have one, you'd send messages to each other. Anybody that didn't have the ring didn't know what you're talking about. That's the only difference between HTTP and HTTPS is the coder ring, whether it's being used or not. Now, the problem is that coder ring has gotten compromised.
Which one is coded and which one is not?
The S for security.
Oh, okay, thank
you. Yeah, yeah. And so the problem is, the reason this is kind of a can of worms topic is because that coder ring has gotten compromised. And so there's a number of ways not to get into the encryption, but to get before it or to get after it. And so that's a concern as far as security goes. All I can give you is best practices. And if you're concerned about security, you should always be looking for that HTTPS. One of the things that the browser manufacturers like Google with Chrome have done is they've insisted that these websites all support TTPS. And you can go to a site with Chrome that you used to be able to successfully use, and it'll come up with an insecure message. And the reason is because that site hasn't adopted the HTTPS, the encryption. And the browser that you're using is saying, hey, you're having this conversation in plain text. Anybody could be listening to you. And it used to be a golden lock or an unlock or a green lock or a red unlock. Now Chrome is like, what are you doing? The whole page is blanked out. Don't go here unless you really know what you're doing. And that could be for my website because I haven't bothered to encrypt it. So it's frustrating, but best practices are things like banking, shopping, travel, always email, always be looking for the S, always be looking for the green lock. But I can't say that you're completely secure. It's just the best way to stay secure. Mike, hold on to that thought. Hold on to that. What you had to add on to that? Say that again.
It's my Mexican money.
Yeah, it's handy.
Okay, the VPN. That you should have one. Okay. You're looking for a VPN recommendation?
Yes.
Okay, so do you guys have a VPN you're recommending?
Well, I have used Watopia.
Watopia? Yeah.
And their CokeBox. But if you use it, you're going to lose a lot of your bandwidth. Mm-hmm. And so I just don't use it anymore.
My question is, when I read it, says, okay, you're going to slow your connection down because it's got to go through.
It's encrypted.
If I could give you a recommendation, I think you start small. Like what Chester has done in the past is had a router that hooks up with a VPN, and then it provides that channel to everything connected to that router. So everything in his house,
including the TV.
Yeah, the TV, the every Google search from any device in his house would appear as though it was in the United States. That's very convenient, but it might be overkill for your needs.
Well, we're on a boat, so we're operating on.
So you're probably looking for more of an individual software solution. So a lot of these VPN companies, they'll let you try it out for 30 days or 2 weeks for free. They'll let you download it and set up an account, and they'll even have like chat and support to help you get it all running correctly. I think you should try the Epic browser. Try downloading Epic browser. If you weren't able to get somewhere, that might solve your problem. It's free, and I mean, if that's all you need, that's all you need.
What I was looking at was one that's called NordVPN, one of the bit larger ones, I think, with Nord Express and CyberGun and stuff like that. It was the only one that I saw that supported both iOS and Android.
Well,
Epic Browser does.
I'm sorry?
Epic Browser does.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah, and Nord can be everything from a personal one-person use to a very professional corporate use, like small office use service. It's got a fairly decent reputation. But it would be a monthly or annual fees.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
It was 3 months, a month, or a 3-year contract. They compete with another one, ExpressVPN.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
But Express doesn't support iOS.
They don't have an iOS app.
I don't believe so.
When I looked at the comparisons, it said it. Yeah. So, we have both.
Hmm.
And the other question I had, it says Nord would support up to 6 devices. Does that mean 6 devices at one time?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then that's not as much of an issue. I thought each device perhaps was cost anyway. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and I would suspect that they keep track of that because you could have it loaded on devices, or you could have a router like Chester's had in the past, and I suspect they would keep track of how many connections you're making to their VPN service. So like 6 devices to me would be like your phone, your tablet, your laptop. If you had a router like Chester has, that might just be the one device. Everything behind it is one device. Yeah.
Okay. Last question is, there's no way to trick Verizon into thinking I'm in the United States, so they won't cut me off at a half a gig a day.
No, they do have a North American plan.
We have that.
Yeah.
But when you get down here, your unlimited data is no longer unlimited high speed data. It's 5 or a half a gig a day of high speed, and
okay.
Then they drop you back to, I don't know, whatever.
That's an interesting contract. I'd never heard of that before.
It's the unlimited plus, whatever.
Yeah, and as you're down here every day, you're using it? And
yeah, well, I don't use it anymore.
The thing is, as far as I know, I don't
how much
have
data
a choice.
Have to get?
It's not like during the day
500 megabytes.
Email or something that I can choose to have slow data and save my fast data. It uses it up and then it's gone.
No, I think I would just make sure that your phone or your devices have a data monitoring on it. You could put a cutoff on how much data you use.
Well, there's it's unlimited data. It's just that it's not unlimited high speed.
High speed. It changes
right.
Speed.
Yeah. So.
Right.
Yeah.
You
have to
use it.
Right.
Yeah.
Buy more though. You can actually buy more.
Well, you can buy more, yes. You know,
they won't let you carry it over.
No.
I'm afraid there isn't an elegant solution to the problem.
No.
Yeah. Mike.
Back to the HTTP and PS.
Okay.
I had a really nice experience with Spanish Dictionary last week. It's a website that helps you with the
language. Spanish Dictionary?
And I noticed it not secure there for a few days. So I sent a little note. And I said, you know, you have this thing that says not secure. What's the story? I got an actually full-blown letter back in email from a girl named Stephanie who said, here's the deal. And she said, they're trying to switch over to the TTPS, but their advertisers, whom they depend on because their content is all free, are too poor to upgrade everything yet, so they can't really get it done yet. But they're working hard as they can to get it done as soon as they can. A letter from a website.
Yeah, that's funny. In the mail?
Well, no.
It was written like a real person would write a letter.
Well, in case you were writing some submissive material in Spanish.
Sure. That's actually, that's a very good use case, actually, now you think about it. You're writing some questionable material you want to have translated, and you don't want to use droppers to see what you're... Yeah? Well, the other thing is, there's a movement that we should be supporting where all these connections are encrypted. The only reason that we didn't encrypt them in the first place was because it took a ridiculous amount of processing power to do all that math simply for communication. And so we've always erred on the side of convenience. But now it's just amazing the amount of processing power we have. Encrypting something is just nonchalant. They can easily make every connection that you make an encrypted channel, and so it should be. And that's what Google's trying to do with their Chrome browser, putting up an ugly face when you show up at one of these sites, is, aren't you worried about your business? We're trying to make everyone encrypt. We want all our it's like, we're hurting your business because you're not helping us with this problem.
Frankly, I'm pleased they do that.
Yeah.
I use the NordVPN, and there's places I can't get to unless I take it off.
Yeah. That's probably because they are checking to see if you're using a VPN.
Yeah.
Yeah, there isn't much you can do about that. That's kind of a...
banks are doing that.
That's kind of a whack-a-mole problem. I mean, like certain services are trying to stop the use of VPNs, and they collect pools of VPN numbers so that they can recognize which ones are being used when they're approached. You might find one VPN does that to you, another VPN doesn't. Mm-hmm. You might find that you're using Nord. You might find you get a hold of Nord. I just had this experience with ExpressVPN. Could not get Netflix to work. Got on their chat, started chatting with a customer rep who started having me change locations, very much like Chester used to do with Ytopia.
Change cities.
Yeah, change cities where the VPN... I from my own personal experience, I wasn't expecting it to work. I was expecting them to come back with a complete failure, and we were gonna get our money back from this account, and we're going to find some other solution. And eventually came across the local area that would allow Netflix to run through it. Like, I think it was in California. It would let you use Netflix as though you were in California. And so it's a real whack-a-mole kind of problem. Mm-hmm. I speculate that there is some gray business out there, and its whole business is identifying VPN providers and selling that data to companies like Amazon and Netflix and Apple, so they have all that information about who's using VPNs and how to identify them.
Netflix has been giving me a message, stops Netflix and says, you have a blocker.
A blocker, that's right.
And that's VPN Express. And then I hit OK and it's fine.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Or I go and I reactivate it.
Well, I was surprised to see VPN Express function because I had seen so many times where it didn't. But we just kept, and it was with an Apple TV as well. It worked with an Apple TV. So, yeah, hit or miss whether it's going to work for whatever application you're trying to use it for. That's why I typically think start small and easy and cheap and work your way up to a more powerful solution if that's really what you need.
Well, they had a special on, what was it, $2.33 a month for that Nord VPN.
Okay, that sounds pretty reasonable.
And it was, if you were with some group, and I've forgotten what group it was, and I said, oh, I hold my hand up, I'm in that group.
That's my group. Do we have any other questions or topics? Yeah.
Is anonymizer sort of like the same as VPN?
Well, anonymizer isn't actually. It's more a concept. It's like an adjective to describe some of these technologies.
If you're trying to get content that's supposedly not available in Mexico, a VPN
would do something like
hide your true location. And okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, VPN or a proxy, and it's real hit or miss. I mean, people, it's good to have. In fact, it's good to know exactly what your goal is. A lot of people are trying to use Netflix as though they're in the United States, or Prime as though they're in the United States, or Hulu as though they're in the United States. Well, if that's really the only thing you're concerned about, services like SmartDNS have proven to work really well. And they've made a whole business model over trying to provide those services to you. So they actually keep a control panel that show your success getting at those services. And they'll show them in green if everything's working right, and they'll show it in red if we're having a problem. But what I like about something like SmartDNS is the onus on making it work is on them, not on you. And many times with a VPN provider, the onus is on you. Just like my experience with ExpressVPN, I had to get into the equipment. I had to make the changes. I had to find a new location. Their customer support was happy to hold my hand while I did it. But it was all my responsibility. The moment it goes down, it becomes my responsibility again. Whereas with SmartDNS, the moment it goes down, they've got engineers that are trying to bring it back up.
So what are the limitations of SmartDNS? It just seems to me like it makes more sense than any of those.
Well, SmartDNS does provide VPNs, but that's a different technology. And so then you could get into the nuances of how secure VPNs are. And you might find that ExpressVPN or NordVPN can offer a much more reliable, secure VPN than SmartDNS is offering. I mean, it's just a matter of what your priorities are. And maybe that SmartDNS all around is providing all that for you. It's giving you the right experience.
I'm happy. I use Netflix and Prime.
I mean, Nord might be able to provide take like third party responsibility of two endpoints in your business, so that you've got like an office across town that connects with an office here, and Nord might be able to provide that channel between those two networks at a secure, and they would manage it as a third party. Just there's different reasons to use this stuff.
You were talking about Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
I just got an email from them yesterday, especially for travelers. Click on this, and it shows you content that is available to you when you're outside of the United States. Now, it's not everything that you could get on Amazon Prime at home, but most of the things I was interested in looked like they were available. I hadn't tried yet, since I just got here about a week ago. I've been successful with Netflix, seeing programs I want, and I thought, I wonder if Amazon Prime will let me continue to watch programs and movies. And some are available even outside the country.
That's interesting. Movies available?
I didn't go all the way to check them out. I'll do that before next week. But I thought to myself, well, this is interesting. I have more options than I thought I had.
Amazon's got a huge collection now of stuff that is Amazon stuff. And so they can decide where that goes.
Right.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we'll be seeing more of that. And then they've got copyright.
They created it, they can send it wherever they want, right?
That's right. And Netflix is the same way. Is everything you can reliably get on Netflix here and in the States is the Netflix content.
Yeah.
Right? And Amazon Prime is the same way. Everything you can reliably get in both countries is the Amazon content.
That's true, because Downton Abbey was on the list as one of the things you could not get.
Mm-hmm. Could not.
Yeah, because it's originally BBC or PBS content. Yeah.
With my smart DNS.
Well, you can, because you have smart DNS.
I have a question.
You have a question.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Okay. I tried to get my Alexa.
Okay.
To work.
All right.
And I can't get it in my Alexa app.
In your mobile device?
On my phone.
It won't install?
Well, I can't even get into the Alexa app on the phone to get try and get it installed.
Oh, it sounds like you're having a phone problem.
I wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah.
I've had a wonderful time lately with the phone. There's the Alexa app. We'll see if it comes up.
Oh, yeah, you need to be on the network where the device is. It looks like you're not even connected to a network right now.
No, probably not in here.
Yeah, it's looking for a Wi-Fi network so that it can connect your device to. But you should be in the same Wi-Fi network that you plan on putting it on.
I was.
And there's if that app opens, there's a settings page where, well, it should walk you through an interview if it's the first time you've installed it.
Well, I've got probably 10 or 12 Alexa things. And, you know.
Devices, smart speakers.
Yeah. Like 8 of them are in Colorado, so I'm wondering what's going to happen as soon as I get one up here.
Oh, that is interesting. I wonder how they make the distinctions.
Yeah.
If you rename it, I mean, I have an Alexa in Colorado, also an Alexa down here, and it asked me for my Mexico.1 or my Colorado.1.
Oh, you know, that's interesting. Okay, yeah.
So I just bought Alexa. I mean, I just bought Prime yesterday, Mexican Prime.
Yes.
So I got the free month, and it was 899 pesos for a year.
Yeah, it's just like $40. It's like a half the price in the States.
And then it goes up to what? About the same as the States?
Well, it's up 100 and...
It's 119 or something in the States.
Yeah. Now, it's...
Now,
but in Mexico, no, it won't go that high up. No. Yeah. Yeah, it's always been smaller.
Prime, yes. I got it set up this morning on my TV. Now, it looks like... Now, maybe I have more to go through, but it looks like their catalog isn't that big.
Well, it should be bigger now that you're on Mexican Prime because they do have a collection of content that's copyrighted for Mexico.
But I did notice one thing interesting. They sort of put Spanish stuff in their own category. You know, like on Netflix, it's all mixed in. And now more and more Netflix that you're looking at has the ES next to it.
Right.
And...
I haven't had an experience where they, you know, I use Amazon Prime on a Samsung TV.
That's what I'm doing. I put it on this morning. I didn't get a chance to really look through it. But the one thing I noticed about the Amazon Prime is they've got the categories at the top versus you always having to go over to the side on Netflix.
Right.
And look for the categories.
Probably what's important is every one of these platforms lays this stuff out differently. So it's significant that we're both using Samsung TVs, but even in between Samsung models, you may have a different style app.
You do. Yeah. The one in my bedroom, which has you can talk to the remote and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that one the setup is different than on the one in the living room.
Yeah.
And the one in the living room I actually bought in Mexico.
Well, and the Prime app on an Android TV box is different than the one you get on an Android tablet.
Yep.
So that layout
is... Is this the American credit card on when you order stuff?
I used my new Mexican... You can?
Yeah.
I used my new Mexican debit card that I got. I set up an account at BBVA Bankomer.
Yep. So
and now I have a credit card. And on the BBVA Bankomer, you can pay all your electric bills and everything.
Okay.
And no charge, where Banco is charging you. There is no charge. There's no no monthly fee on the...
Expand on Linda's about the debit card. I did the same thing because it wanted a Mexican payment when I signed up for Prime.
Okay.
So I used the Mexican debit card.
That's what I used.
And then I removed it, and ever since then I've used my American credit card.
Oh, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it was only a one-time buy. Yeah.
I personally, I don't like using debit cards on automatic systems. I just.
Would you tell us next week if you're able to get Amazon Prime movies?
They're not paying my
electricity. Well, Chester, it would be the Prime movies that are owned by Amazon, and it would be the ones that are copyrighted for Mexico.
Huh? So that may not be English movies.
Well, they typically have English movies. I mean, but the ones that are allowed to be distributed in Mexico. So there is a catalog of movies that you don't get to see down here.
It's kind of like Netflix.
Very much like Netflix, yeah.
How do you add it to your TV,
Amazon? Well, your smart TV would have to be able to support an app that you could install in it, or you would use like an Apple TV or a Fire TV. You could get a Fire TV stick that would work.
I've got a Roku, but it kind of fixed my Wi-Fi connection.
Well, on the Roku, they should have a Prime app.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah?
But
yeah.
My Wi-Fi signal doesn't reach.
Doesn't reach the Roku. Well, that's a different problem.
But I've got an Ethernet plugged in directly, so I'm going to get a router and plug the Ethernet into the router. Right?
Yeah.
Right behind the TV.
That would work. Yeah. Well, I'm bummed that James isn't here, because I was just going to mention, did you guys see that Ohio has the first state that's accepting Bitcoin to pay taxes?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I just sent you an article about Bitcoin.
Yeah? Yeah, it had a significant drop. Apparently, they've really figured out how to do this. There's a 1% a fee if you decide to use it, right? So
with your credit cards.
Yeah, is that how that works?
All states have to charge. If your tax is $1,000, you have to pay $1,000. If the credit card fee takes $30 out, you have to pay $1,030.
Okay, but that's a credit card fee.
Yeah, well, the same with all. I mean, if any fee's coming out, like Bitcoin.
I'm saying the state's collecting the fee.
Yeah, well, the same thing that credit card.
So the state collects that fee from the credit card?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
They collect it from the user. And then the credit card takes it out.
Mexico, because they don't have to pay it.
Okay. I was going on to another topic, and one of our members is always joking about Bitcoin. We spend a number of weeks talking about Bitcoin. And so the latest Bitcoin news is that Ohio is accepting Bitcoin to pay their taxes. And I think what's significant is that Bitcoin can be done without any middleman. Like a credit card would be a middleman. So that would mean that fee's collected just by the state.
But maybe they have trouble turning that into dollars when they go to spend it.
Maybe. I mean,
that would be the percentage that they're asking.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. That could be the case.
Basically, it's tied to the state constitutions, and that what you pay for your real estate tax is the same for everybody.
Okay. Well, anyway, I thought that James would find it interesting, but he's not here. So we miss you, James. I hope you're listening at home. That's the Bitcoin topic of the week. Ohio, the first state to accept Bitcoin to pay taxes.
Is this opened up to earthing today?
This is not an earthing episode. Oh, and Mike, you know, I'm realizing you're probably right, because they talked about in the article how it immediately had to be turned into cash. So that probably is related to the fee that you're having to pay.
Well, its value changes every day, related
to cash. Yeah, yeah. So you'd want to take care of it as quickly as possible from the state's positions.
Like pesos.
Turn it into real money.
Pesos are less today than they were yesterday.
Okay, Ed.
Last week I sent you a little blurb on a range.
1.5 yesterday.
You did.
Did you follow up on that?
I did. I mean, I looked into it. I couldn't find anything significant from that versus any other kind of range extender. It seemed to me just to be another range extender.
You said it was the best.
Yeah, yeah, and for some reason, like, you still buy Cheerios and Clorox that are new and improved. I'm sure it's the best.
Or CNN breaking news for 4 days.
Right,
same thing.
But it's really powerful. It's much more powerful
I suspect that those products that we don't recognize the names of right now are just Chinese products that are using a very similar style software to provide a very similar. And what you're really, in reality, what you're doing is you're buying customer support these days. The product you want to buy doesn't die, but at the same time, you're going to need help with it. How much help do you get with it? How much documentation is available? And those kinds of products where we're not recognizing the name and they're just popping up in some like wish, I suspect there's no infrastructure behind them. It's raw product and you're left to your own devices to sort out how to use it.
My other question was, I'm having trouble clearing my memory in my smartphone.
Like flashing it back to factory defaults or just trying to clear.
Every day I get a WhatsApp update. I hit WhatsApp update, and it rejects it because I don't have enough storage. I just moved all my photos from gallery to the SD card.
Delete some of your WhatsApp chats. Just the chats, not the person, but just the chats. That happened to me. I just deleted a bunch of chats I didn't need, and I was fine.
You can also, there is some apps, I do not have one yet to recommend, but if you go, the problem you're describing is an easily Googled problem.
I can't download any more apps.
Wait. You might have to delete a couple apps to get an app in that can help you. But, what's that?
He has room in the phone memory. He moved everything to the chip.
Well, you may still not have enough memory. But this problem with WhatsApp is a problem that people are reporting all the time. And so there's a lot of Google results on WhatsApp doesn't have enough space. How can I move WhatsApp to my SD card? And so there are apps that are recommended. I don't have a recommendation because I only looked at this. I mean, I was actually dealing with this on my wife's old phone, and she got her phone back. She was using a loaner phone that was doing this, and she got her phone back before I had a chance to resolve it, so I've never gone back to resolve it. But I did find a solution that was recommending an app from the App Store that would allow you to list all the applications that you have that could go over to the SD card and move them for you. And it was specifically to solve the WhatsApp problem. Yeah. So the answer is out there. I just don't have it at the tip of my tongue.
Next week you have to.
Oh, my gosh. I have to write it down now. Before we end, did anybody take advantage of Black Friday, Cyber Monday sales?
Did you see OWC?
Everybody saw my bent door out here?
Your bent door?
I went to Ford. And they had a Friday-Monday special, and I bought $1,500 worth of parts for $900.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is at Ford?
And free delivery.
Did you see the sale they had at MacTel or at OWC?
No.
Okay, they had a 1 terabyte solid-state drive for $148.
$148 for 1 terabyte solid state drive, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, Amazon was having prices like that too. They had slashed Samsung solid state drives down to like $117 for a half a terabyte.
Well, look at MacSales.com. I've been using them for years and I've never had a problem with them, and their customer service is great.
Ford said that people were buying diesel engines.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Anybody else have anything they want to add? Are we going to actually end on time? I've got other topics here. Let's see, we did Wireless Shack and Cyber. Did you guys see that the next SpaceX launch is going to bring up 64 satellites?
Wow.
This is, apparently, I didn't realize this, and it's a little nerve-wracking. Elon Musk has had this plan for a while to put low-orbiting internet around the world. and become the world's largest internet provider. And this is on the path to that goal. And what this is their next space shot will be a space barge that's going to bring 64 satellites from a variety of different startups and launch them so that they can start working on their projects. They can start offering satellite services. This will be things like monitoring farmlands and wetlands and things of that nature.
Forest fires.
Forest fires, right, exactly. So that's just, it's a little, I mean, that's very, very sci-fi, isn't it? It sounds like something out of a movie. Like there's this rocket that's going to be launched, and 64 other items are going to, is its payload, and they're going to surround the Earth with services. This is going to happen shortly. Elon's plan for this low orbit internet service is called Starlink. And I can't help but think of Skynet from Terminator.
Yeah. Musk also volunteered to be one.
Did he really launch?
Right? Yeah. Well, why not if you're living in a simulation?
Yeah.
Did he really put one of his sedans up in space?
And send it to Mars.
It's on its way to Mars.
Yes.
No.
With a space suit,
yes.
In the driver's seat.
Yes. It's an aspirational, inspirational thing he's done. Yeah. That was the whole point. We had to use some kind of payload to test the rocket. Apparently, I was reading about this. Apparently, NASA, traditionally, they use cement. Traditionally, when they go to test rockets, they send a slab of cement up with them that behaves,
payload.
Yeah, behaves like the payload. He's like, that's not very interesting, so he sent a Tesla.
Probably got it on discount.
Right, Black Friday sale. See you guys.
He's a genius with quirks.
Right. He's a stable genius.
I bet our president was probably jealous of that.
Right?
It's fun and dangerous at the same time.
That's right. Well, you remember he raised money for his boring company by giving away blowtorches? Yeah, blowtorches.
How do you raise money by giving things away?
Oh, well, it was for startup money.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, if you kicked in so much startup money, he would send you a blowtorch. Well, guys, does anybody have any other questions? Can we conclude our meeting for the week? Bam, bam, bam.
Got one down here.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm still working on my security, so I decided I need a VPN.
Okay.
So what about the DNS? So if I have a VPN, does that protect my DNS?
Your VPN, when you do a VPN, then all your DNS behavior goes down the VPN.
Okay.
So it would protect it from prying eyes, but whatever you're using for DNS
right.
would still be collecting that information.
So, when they
don't. So are you using the 1.1.1.1?
No, I'm not using anything.
Okay. Okay, but as far as your DNS, you said you had information that they weren't collecting information. What DNS do you use?
I don't know. The VPN said that they didn't collect anything.
Oh, right. But for example, say you had a DNS that was set to the Prodigy DNS here in Mexico, and you're using a VPN. If your device is set to the Prodigy DNS, then what's going to happen is your traffic is going to traverse the VPN to your endpoint, come out, and then go to the Prodigy DNS. And the Prodigy DNS collects information on you.
It is going to collect information on the VPN site in Timbuktu or wherever, right?
Sure, it'll look like it came from that endpoint right. instead of coming from here.
Right. Is my information still secure?
Well, I mean, in the sense that it looks like it's coming from that endpoint instead of coming from here. Like, it would be secure from people that were targeting you right here. But then when you leave that endpoint on the internet, you're just as secure as any other place on the internet that you might go to. Like, you've become anonymous locally. You've got encryption all the way to that endpoint, so all between here and there, no one can eavesdrop. But when it comes out of there, where you're going becomes the issue as far as security.
But so I'm not even sure I understand what DNS is. My understanding was when I type in Google or whatever into my
browser, yeah,
and then it goes out to try and find that and convert it to an IP address, right?
That's right. A DNS is probably best thought of as like a phone book for the internet.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so my understanding was that that was where you were vulnerable to somebody grabbing your information, the middleman,
well, that lookup, like using the analogy of a phone book, that doesn't compromise you as far as your banking information, your credit card information. Where it compromises you in the kinds of places you go. And the way that internet service providers have been using that information is that they've been injecting advertising based on where you go, and they've been selling it to marketers based on where you go. And so if you wanted protection against that, then you would need to use an encrypted DNS that vows not to keep track of that information when you visit it. So you've got an encrypted tunnel to the DNS, to the phone book, and then the phone book has terms of service saying we are not saving any of this information. So there's no eavesdropping on the way, and there's no way for anybody to go through any logs to see what you did.
I've got plenty of time.
Based on that, different apps then, one for the DNS and one for the VPN?
You know, technically yes, but if I was Nord, and I'm not sure what their whole portfolio of services are, but if I was Nord, that would be part of what you were buying, is secure DNS.
Maybe it is, but I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't know either.
I have some question I can ask.
Yeah, so yeah, that's what I would ask. You want to know,
do you need to have so much security?
Do I need to?
Yeah.
I just don't
want to
have somebody out there collecting my
personal
information.
But let's not hold on. Let's not disregard the importance of best security practices. I mean, we should always encourage best security practices. But you're always security. The thing to think about security, and I know why you're asking, is it's constantly this balancing act between convenience. And convenience comes in the form of economic convenience, ease of use convenience, availability convenience. And some of these things are not worth pursuing because that convenience, it's so inconvenient that it's not worth the payoff of
that's my position.
Yeah.
Unless I really have something to hide, which I don't.
So I'll give you a good example. When I mentioned 1.1.1.1, that is a secure DNS solution that's being offered by a cloud company that has a good reputation, and they're doing it altruistically. They want their name out there. They want developers to be thinking of Cloudflare when they're making applications and using services. And so they, because of the kind of infrastructure they have, they can easily offer a fast DNS that's secure. And they've coupled it with an application now, which makes the ease of use very high. So you can download the 1.1.1.1 app on your phone or mobile device, and that app has one button on it. You turn it on, and now you've got encrypted DNS lookups. It goes through a VPN channel to their DNS. Their DNS, they have terms of service saying that they are not collecting any activities on that, and it's a one-button switch to turn it on or turn it off. Now, that's a high enough convenience level that I've loaded it on all my Android and iOS devices, because they've made it available for Android and iOS. And I would keep it on. I have it on my phone 24/7. until I hit something where it feels like it's acting screwy, and I'll go turn it off just to make sure that's not the reason it's acting screwy. So far, it's never been the reason I've had a problem, and I've just turned it right back on and went back to having security. I didn't worry about it before because it was an inconvenience to set it all up myself. And most of my customers would find it. I couldn't give advice over the phone. I mean, it was an inconvenience. This is very convenient. Why not practice best practices with it? Yeah.
Last week, we did discuss ExpressVPN, which
looked
it up on the internet, and it's rated number one.
Yeah? Okay.
So you might want
to I looked it up, and it seemed to me like, I don't know how many sites they can put up that they can rank themselves number one on. It looked like a good deal, you know?
I think it's important to always remember you're not going to be 100% secure. It's impossible. There isn't a solution out there that covers all your bases. I think it's better to have a list of the things you want to accomplish and then go looking out for a service provider that can do that for you.
I know, but it's just like the credit check companies. They've been compromised. All your stuff is out there. There's just nothing. Totally 100% secure.
And just trying to make them interesting.
Someone's going to hack it.
Absolutely.
That's what it's all about.
Well, to add to Linda's point, the NSA has told us, I mean, if you have any fear of the government, the NSA has made it very clear to us, if they can read your data, they only hold on to it for 6 months. But if it's encrypted, they hold on to it indefinitely. So they're constantly warehousing all our traffic because they can, because we live in this day and age now where it's very easy to just collect all information off the internet. They collect a huge bulk of encrypted data because everybody's doing best practices of security now.
Yeah.
That sits indefinitely in their vaults as an opportunity for them to practice decrypting techniques. So every time they come up with a new technology to compromise encryption, they've got all your data to work against.
Well, it's like, you know, the ad on TV for Experian, and they're telling you go and see if your name's on the dark web. Well, I looked up my email address, and supposedly it is, but everybody's is because they've all been compromised.
Right. Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
There's probably no reason to go look yourself up, because the credit network had gotten compromised. Well, that is everybody. It's at least every American.
So now they're trying to get you to buy more.
Right.
So they put these ads out on TV, and they're trying to get you to buy more from them. The credit card, the credit agencies.
Their identity theft stuff. They gave it away for free at first,
right.
And then you, for the first 6 months, you'll have theft identity
right.
for free. And then
they'll get it again.
They turned this ridiculous, I don't have the adjectives to describe it. It's horrendous that they would allow such a data breach, and they were able to flip it around. They were able to pivot it into a marketing opportunity.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, most of us have a VPN here, but a lot of us only use it for certain things, like Medicare, Social Security, a few of the insurance companies. There's a few
financial
different
institutions.
No, almost none of them, because they're all.
The banks are all secure,
all,
and they guarantee
the
your money, so there's.
And they guarantee your money.
Yeah.
So you really don't have to worry about your money.
Earlier we were talking about debit and credit cards. One of the reasons that I don't like to use a debit card is because it doesn't give you the credit card protection that a credit card does. And if anything, that interest rate is worth having the protection of somebody not draining your bank account.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just don't have to worry about any of that.
Guys, we got to shut it down. We're 15 minutes over. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions, and if you have computer issues anywhere on the internet, I'd appreciate you getting a hold of me. You can find me from internationalcs.net. If you've enjoyed this, you can find more of these at our website at sccclub.org. That's the San Carlos Computer Club.org. You can find us in podcasts in your favorite podcast app. Just search for The San Carlos Computer Club and we'll pop up. Or go to our website and you'll find links to YouTube videos of these meetings as well as audio recordings. Again, this is Scott's... Oh, we meet at Tequila's. So if you guys are in San Carlos, if you're hungry, a lot of people show up Tuesday at 8:30. They come in for breakfast and they stay for the meeting afterwards. But anytime you're hungry, Tequila's is a great place to get a meal. They don't pay me anything to say that, but they do give us great table service and really fast Wi-Fi. They've got a fiber optic link here. It is like the fastest connection in town. So if you're looking for good internet, come to Tequila's. That's it. We'll see you next week. It's next Tuesday at 9:15. This is Scott signing off. Tech on.
Scott, thank you.
You're very welcome. Good to have you guys. It was very nice to meet you in person.
I need to do some in-depth consultation with you over where I live. My partner just passed away suddenly last month, and he was the tech person in the house. He had VPN, he did torrent, he did this, he did that.
Right.
And I'm kind of left going, what am I going to do? I brought, anyway, I'll call. I have your card.
Oh, you have my information?
Give me your card again.
Okay.
You gave it to me last week, but give it to me again, and I'll call you at some point.
Sure.
Because I need to hook stuff up to my TV. Right now I'm watching everything on my tablet.
I got it. There we go. Here you are.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just let me know.
So we'll be in touch.
And I will be gone Christmas, the week of Christmas.
Okay.
But other than that, I'm around.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. We'll be in touch then. Thank you, Scott.
Yes, nice to meet you.
Thank you again.
You're very welcome. What was your name again?
David.
Almost
all
of us.
Yeah. I'll eventually absorb all of this and then it'll change by then, you know.
Yeah, right. It'll all be done.
Yeah.